Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. This is my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. And I would love for you to go there to click on this article about the nearly $700,000 that was awarded to a Healthy American client in this religious discrimination case. And I also have an Instagram page where you can read about that as well. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I've got a video for you where I am talking about what paved the way for these rulings in favor of these employees that are being wrongfully terminated. And this was a Supreme Court ruling a year ago. So this was June 2023, and this was a case called Groff versus DeJoy. And I have broken that down in great detail. And I must say that I am somewhat at my snarky best in this video. So I hope that you are going to enjoy it. As a reminder, all of my videos are here at the Healthy American Peggy Hall. Click under videos, and then also click under live, because I have some of my broadcasts come live. This one, you told me, brought many of you to tears. We have, sadly, a shared grief with the loss of our pets. And so I talk about how painful pet loss can be. And then in my video yesterday, I did this coverage of the Healthy American client. But what I want to do before we talk about the Groff decision, and you can enjoy some of my trademark snarkiness as to how ridiculous the requirements are from these employers, I do want to welcome a new sponsor to the show. And we are hopping right on over to NativePathCollagen.com/Peggy. Now, I will have a link for you in the description box below when you expand this. And I want to tell you about the seven reasons everyone over 50, reasons why that everyone over 50 should be taking this kind of protein. And you know, and I know that finding an honest doctor that isn't following in the footsteps of big pharma can feel impossible. And that's why millions of men and women have turned to this one Texas doctor and the seven reasons he says that anyone over the age of 50 should be drinking this one thing. Now, it's not milk. It's not another calcium-rich drink. Instead, it's a unique protein that naturally declines with age and is proven to significantly increase bone strength and soothe joint pain. It minimizes wrinkles and cellulite. It enhances hair follicle thickness, and it even reverses nail damage. That sounds good to me. And users who are doing this are reporting results in as little as 2 weeks. So as a partner of the show, this Texas doctor is offering all of my listeners up to 45% off of his bone, joint, and ligament restoring formula. And you simply go to getnativepathcollagen.com/Peggy. This product has thousands of five-star reviews and over 4 million jars sold. And friends, it comes back with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so there is no risk to you to try it today. So again, all of my Healthy Americans can go to the link that I will have for you in the description box below to get up to 45% off while supplies last at getnativepathcollagen.com/Peggy. All right, now let's get geared up for the rest of the video where you are going to hear all about the Groff decision with some of my trademark snark. Please enjoy. Friends, there have been so many emails coming my way with this good news about the Supreme Court rulings. There have been several rulings that have been published, and I'm going to focus on each one in a separate video. Right now, we are looking at the Supreme Court ruling in terms of a postal worker who was discriminated against because of his religious expression. Let me set the stage a little bit, and then we'll dive in. I'm going to bring you a couple of the very, very, very important headlines here, the learning points so that you can apply this if you are applying for a job or if you are being discriminated against, and even more, if you are fighting your company with the help of the EEOC, maybe you're even battling the EEOC or your state non-discrimination agency. Maybe you even have a lawsuit. All of this is going to help you tremendously. So let me set the stage for you a little bit here. There is a law called Title VII, and this is of the U.S. Civil Rights Act. This came into law, it was passed by Congress, signed into law in 1964. That's many decades ago. Unfortunately, the public serpents and the powers that shouldn't be, including many of your employers, your HR departments, the store grocery clerk, grocery store clerks, and others that were trying to prevent you from your religious freedom, which is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. It's protected by your own state constitution, and it is protected by the U.S. Civil Rights Act in terms of your freedom to not be hindered by your religious expression in a public accommodation, meaning you can vote without obstructing your breath. You can vote without becoming a human pincushion. You have a right as a student to have access to public education without becoming a human pincushion. I know. Many of you are emailing me because your states and the public schools are violating this law blatantly. I get it. And I hope that it's going to compel you to get your child out of public school. There are so many superior learning alternatives. In terms of the woke place, Title VII says, and in fact, there are several titles under the U.S. Civil Rights Act. Let me clarify. There are 11 chapters, and Title IV or Chapter IV is what relates to those in a public school setting. And then Chapter VII, also known as Title VII, is what allows for individuals to avoid being discriminated against at the woke place simply based on their religious beliefs, expression, or observance. I'm going to give a simple example. I worship God by breathing. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. With every breath in, I am breathing in the breath of God. Every breath out, I am exhaling. It's called inspiration, breathing in with spirit. And when I exhale, I am preparing for that next breath, which comes from my creator. I have not obstructed it. I never will obstruct it. I will never do so, certainly at the coercion and threats of the government. If I individually decide that in a certain setting where I'm cleaning out the attic or painting the house or what have you, I'm in a dust storm somewhere, I decide that I personally choose to do that, that's fine. If you personally decide to do that, go at it. But please don't think that the government had the power to tell you to do that. You might individually think that was a good choice. Go for it. And I've had the discussions before with those who say, well, Peggy, don't you care about public health? How can you be so selfish? How can you be so careless in putting yourself first? What about all of those that are immunocompromised? Well, my answer is, does it work? And if it does, then you're covered. And if it doesn't work, then why are you wearing it? And if it only works when I wear mine, and I don't have one, so to call mine, then is that the same thing? Like your raincoat only works if I'm wearing a raincoat? I've done many videos on this in the past. And I use these examples to sort of shake people into the awareness that the government has zero authority to tell you what to do related to your medical interventions. Period. They cannot impose a medical intervention on you. What if your state passed a law that said every pregnant woman must have an abortion, that this state prohibits birthing people, right? In California, that's what they call them. And abortions are mandated. How would you like them apples? Them are pretty rotten apples. And it's not a far cry from what these companies were doing, requiring you to become a human pincushion in order to keep your job. So let me make it very simple. Let me break down the law. It's very simple. The law, Title VII, that's been in existence for how long is it? 60 years, that the employer cannot infringe upon your religious practice, your religious beliefs, and your religious observance, because that's discrimination. Now, there's a little caveat. It said, the law states, unless it is an undue hardship to the employer, or if you are a direct threat to others. Probably thousands of you who are watching will say, Peggy, that's exactly what my employer said. They said that I would be a threat to others if I did not become a human pincushion. And my response, and I helped many of you in this battle, was prove it. Mr. Woke Employer, if you are making the claim that I am a threat to others, where's your evidence? You see, friends, it's probably time to remind everyone, since the government and the media and the serpents have done such a good job of brainwashing people into believing that you are guilty until proven innocent. You are sick unless proven healthy. Oh, what is that you say? It's the exact opposite. You're absolutely right. You see, our political system is founded on the principles that you are innocent unless, not until, unless you have been proven guilty. Let me add on to that. There is no law against being sick. So even if you personally were carrying some disease, it's not against the law. Show me the law that says it's illegal to have a cold. I'd like to see that. Show me the law that says it's illegal to have sniffles. I've been waiting for years. Show me the law that says it's illegal to have the flu. Show me the law that says it's illegal for you to go to work if you have a flu. Now, I just use those words because they're in the common vernacular. We don't really know why people get sick and how they get sick and how they recover and so forth. Story for another day. Many people are speaking about that. In fact, I have a video by Dr. Sam Bailey, who speaks on that topic at great length. The reason why this is so important when it comes to our modern day and the employers discriminating against you for your religious beliefs, they're not discriminating against you because of your status, your medical status. Don't get that confused. They will hijack the conversation, as many do in the public realm. They hijack the conversation to divert you away from the actual issue, like those diverting us into the safety of the shots, has nothing to do with anything. The real issue is no government can make medical decisions for me. Keep your eye on the ball, friends. Leave all that other stuff behind. So your employer was trying to make it an issue that you were carrying a disease that you don't know that you're sick. Hello? There's something called symptoms. And because we fought back so vigorously against this, finally the CDC said, okay. You don't have to be tested unless you have symptoms. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Being tested frequently for a disease you don't have is called hypochondria. It's a mental illness. All right. It's called Munchausen's when it's perpetrated upon yourself that you always think you're sick. And it's called Munchausen's by proxy when you keep thinking somebody else is sick. Your employer is guilty of implicating you with a mental illness, requiring you to be tested again and again and again and again. It's literally mentally ill. And we fought back against that and we had great success, and they've receded, they've pulled back on that requirement. Now, I am going to get to that Supreme Court ruling, but the reason why I'm laying this out is because this ties in exactly to the work that we've been doing. And this is it. The company says you have to become a human pincushion, because if you don't, it is going to be a burden on the company. And then your response is, show me why. Show me how. Where is the evidence? Where are the facts, right? Facts are circumstances and information that are in comportment with reality. They're living in a fantasy land to think that you're going to show up at work and just by breathing, everybody's going to drop dead. So I counseled people to say to their employer, would you please provide me kindly with a list of names of all of the people that I have gotten sick? I would like to see the list of those names. And I would like to find out how you determined that I was the one that made them sick. Where's the evidence that I was the one that did it and they didn't get sick at McDonald's or the post office or wherever? I'd like to know. Further, would you please let me know how many of these individuals ended up in the hospital and what kind of treatments they got because of me and my non-pincushion status? I would like to know. Or maybe me just breathing oxygen, or me being unassaulted with a nasal rape. I would like to know that. And further, I would like to know the names of the people who died so that I can send a condolence card to their family. And I will pray for them, and I will ask God for forgiveness for my silent assassin ways. And the employer can never present you with that information because it doesn't exist. And that is called the rule of law. You are innocent unless proven guilty. There is no evidence that you individually are causing the company a hardship by breathing oxygen, remaining unassaulted, and unpricked. Yes, I'm using that word on purpose. We know who the, I will leave those comments aside. All right, this is a family-friendly show. So there are two ways, there are three ways that the company tried to deny you your religious rights. Number one, they said, we don't believe you. You think you giving me some Bible verses is going to make me believe that you believe in God? I don't believe you. Imagine, friends, just imagine that an employee was hired as a man. Let's just call him, I don't know, Bob. All right. Bob was hired, and a month or two later, now it's Betty walking into work, sitting at Bob's desk and using Bob's email. And Betty has now is wearing makeup and high-heeled shoes and appears to have some physical changes to the body. The employer cannot legally, although I would argue differently, but in the eyes of the law, what we've seen is that if that employer says, wait a minute, we hired you as Bob, what's going on here? You are going to be upsetting the other employees. This is an undue burden to our company. You are a direct threat because people now don't want to show up at work because they knew you as Bob. Can you imagine if an employer at the woke place said that to Bob? Could you imagine how quickly these attorneys are going to line up to take that case, that multi-million dollar case of sexual discrimination? Because they throw all of the gender stuff under the heading of sex at the workplace. All right. But you, in your pure blood, oxygen breathing way, have to have letters of support and verification and qualification. You have to go before a panel. You have to plead your case. You have to defend your faith. You have to convince them that you believe what you believe. But somebody showing up in a different clothing of the opposite sex gets a free pass. How about those who are homosexual? Do they have to prove that they cannot be straight? Do they have to have letters from, psychologists or something, proving that this is their legitimate lifestyle? The point being, the homosexuals did not have to and do not have to defend themselves. In fact, they get an entire month of celebrating their sexuality. Yet going to work, you cannot. And there's a law that protects you from being discriminated against based on your religious beliefs. So all of this to show how extremely important the Supreme Court ruling was. And it's exactly what I have been teaching for the last several years. So all of you who are fighting against your employer, I want you to cite this Supreme Court ruling. I want you to pick up the phone and try to get an attorney now that this ruling has come out. And I've also said that for the last few years. Once there starts to be rulings that are favorable against this blatant discrimination against people of faith, and it's not just Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, Mormons, Sikhs, Taoists, atheists are being discriminated against. Yes, the United States recognizes atheism as a religion, a set of beliefs that are an all-encompassing description of how you live your life, the meaning of life and death. That is how the government has defined religion in some cases. So let's go here. It's called the Groff decision. So this came into the Supreme Court, and I will have a link for you. I will read it. I'm going to take it off the screen here because it's a little difficult. I know if you're on your phone to read that, but basically this was decided June 29th, 2023. It was argued back in April. It was brought before the Supreme Court a little bit earlier, I think in October. All right. So here's the situation. Very simple. Gerald Groff is an evangelical Christian who believes for religious reasons that Sunday should be devoted to worship and rest, right? That's not outrageous. And I also want to say this, you are protected by your religious beliefs, even if you are not a part of an organized religion. It can be your own individual beliefs. In fact, when it comes right down to it, friends, your faith, your beliefs are individual. It's between you
and your creator. It's your soul, God speaking to you. And ideally, you're going to be living according to his laws, but you don't even have to do that in order to prove your sincerity. Your religious beliefs do not need to be consistent. They do not even need to be logical. Your employer does not even need to understand your beliefs, nor does your employer have to agree with them. Yet what we've seen is these egregious employers at the woke place have been twisting it around, making it be not about your faith, but about your medical status. And by the way, you are protected with your medical status as well. That's under the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's a different set of laws. But under Title VII, it has nothing to do with whether you are a pure blood or a pincushion. It has to do with God told me that I am going to keep my body pure and I worship God. These are my beliefs. Yours might be different. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and I shall not defile it with any unwanted medical interventions in the absence of disease. Now, I'm not going to recommend that you go down the rabbit hole of whether or not these shots work or are safe. Like I say, major diversion, don't go there. I'm stunned at the number of lawsuits that have come forward, and many of them have failed on the basis of they don't work. Oh, so let me follow that logic. So when the government comes out with studies that say they work, you no longer have any objection because the government said they work, because they're safe. There have been new regulatory agencies made. Many, many tests have been done now. You see where that goes, friends? It goes to a big dead end. Don't be carried off by those who are focusing on the safety. It's a giant diversion, red flag, smoke screen, hogwash, gaslighting, and more. The issue is, I don't care if they work. I care that you, the government, and you, the employer, have zero say in what medical interventions I choose, period. I'm talking about an adult choosing whether or not to have a medical intervention imposed upon them. As if your employer said, you have to donate a kidney in order to work here. It's our company policy. Oh, and by the way, you have to sleep with your boss too. It's good for team building. Well, it's our company policy. And if you don't do that, it's going to be a hardship on the company. Well, let's see what the Supreme Court has to say, shall we? So Gerald Groff took a mail delivery job in 2012 and he didn't have to work on Sunday. So he took the job knowing he wasn't working on Sunday because back in the day, USPS didn't deliver on Sunday. And this is going to go with, I'm going to answer two objections from my Healthy American about this. Well, I'll just answer it right now. She said, you know, I don't think there should be religious freedom at the workplace. I think people should choose jobs that aren't going to interfere with their religious beliefs. Well, that's exactly what he did. He chose a job at the USPS that did not require him to work on Sunday. And then later on, USPS did a contract with Amazon to start delivering on Sunday, good old Amazon. So even to avoid that, Mr. Groff decided, you know what? I don't want to make waves. I will just transfer to a rural post office where they still don't have Sunday deliveries. So already he, the employee, was going above and beyond trying to avoid this conflict. This is very important when we talk about accommodations. Accommodations are required by law. The company is required to accommodate the religious beliefs of the employee. It's called a reasonable accommodation. Now, there might be some wiggle room there in terms of the employee might have to also kind of negotiate and collaborate a little bit so that everybody can continue to work and they're not making waves. So it is a little bit of an accommodation. It's not exactly how you would work. It's slightly different. And there are a couple of caveats that I'll get to. So all was well and good. And then at the rural station where, actually I'm calling it a rural station. Yes, because he actually transferred again because the one place he transferred to, they started doing the Amazon delivery. So he transferred again, if I'm reading this correctly. And then he said, look, I cannot work on Sundays. If you can give somebody else that shift, my religion, my religious beliefs and observance and practice require me to not work on Sundays. All right. For a Muslim, they, you know, perhaps would want to have time off on Friday to go to the mosque. For a Sikh who wears a turban, and this has already been settled by the Supreme Court and other, maybe not the Supreme Court, but other federal courts, that a member of the Sikh faith has the right to wear the turban, even if he is in like a sheriff or in the police force. He doesn't have to take it off. And he can grow a beard in the military, even though the military says you have to be clean shaven. So these cases have already gone forward, demonstrating and underlining the fact that your religious beliefs must be respected. And then the law says, within reason, meaning there needs to be a reasonable accommodation. All right. So the USPS said, no, you have to work on Sunday. And if you don't, you're going to be disciplined. And that's exactly what happened. And he finally got so frustrated that he himself resigned. Let me explain. When you feel that you are coerced and really bamboozled and intimidated into resigning, you may think, oh, I can't collect unemployment because I resigned and I'm going to have to tell, you know, no, that's called constructive termination. That's a legal term. Constructive termination means that the conditions were so unsavory and so you could not talk, they were so intolerable that you actually felt like you were forced to resign. Many of you told me that your company told you that if you did not go along with this human pincushion business, that they would call it a forced resignation, that they would force you to resign. It is so despicable. It's like saying to a gay person, you have to resign unless you prove to us that you're straight. You have to resign unless you donate your kidney. Oh, pregnant woman, you have to resign unless you have an abortion because it's our company policy. Friends, it's no different. It is no different because it's your employer illegally putting these requirements upon you. If you think you can argue with me about it, I want to hear it. I've not heard an argument that makes sense to me along those lines. All right. So he sued under Title VII that I just explained to you of the Civil Rights Act, saying that the USPS could have accommodated him. They could have had him have him work Monday through Saturday. They could have had someone else work on Sundays. And here's what the government said. Oh, no. It was far too much of a hardship on the post office to have Mr. Groff not work on Sunday. The problem is they never proved it. It's called lip service. They said it without any evidence. And so this is such a great case for those of you that are struggling right now. It also, they also clarified, there was a case many years ago called Trans World Airlines. Yes, Trans World Airlines. Back in the day, there was a ruling that said that a company had to prove that it was more than a minimal burden on the company or agency in order to accommodate an employee. Let's use the example, a real example here, all right? Let's say that you are a person of faith and conscience and ethics and morals, and you work at a pharmacy, and you cannot, in your God-given conscience, sell birth control pills to a customer. You've prayed about it, God through the Holy Spirit, or however your faith is, however you express your faith, that you realize I cannot do this. You have a right under the law to go to the pharmacist and say, I'm unable to sell these birth control pills. So what should we do about it? And likely the pharmacist will say, you know, when that happens, just raise your hand and I'll have a different cashier ring them up. How would that work? And the employee would probably say, okay, yeah, as long as I'm not involved in it, I don't want to be involved in that. Now, again, I'm using this because it actually, this is a scenario that is true. The pharmacist is required by law to accommodate that employee. if it is the only employee in that pharmacy and there's no one else who works there, actually, this would probably be something for the Supreme Court. It's possible that whoever runs this pharmacy might be able to make the case that this would be a hardship on that pharmacy. But in the regular running of the business, that employee has the right to be accommodated. Now, here's where the employee doesn't have the right. The employee doesn't have the right to say to the customer, you should not be taking these birth control pills and I'm going to tear up this prescription. All right. That's not legal, but it's required that the workplace accommodate that employee. Now, the employer cannot question that employee's sincerity in that belief. The employer cannot say, well, have you ever taken birth control pills? Have you ever had an abortion? What is this? You don't believe in birth control pills. That is a no-no in the eyes of the law. The employer is required to believe the sincerity of the employee. That's been ruled on many, 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 should I say many times. Yet your employer said, I don't believe you. Oh, but you believe that Betty, that Bob is really Betty? You're not questioning that? You see how ridiculous all of that is. And I use these examples that might seem outrageous on purpose so that I can snap people out of their sleeplessness, their slumber, so that they can face reality. So what happened in this ruling, let me summarize it for you here, is that the ruling was unanimous, and it states that Title VII is required, Title VII requires an employer that denies a religious exemption to show the burden of granting the accommodation would result in substantial increased costs in relation to conducting that particular business. So it also states, and this is so, so important, it states that it has no, the accommodation and its effect on the other employees is not relevant. So your employer, your ignorant, incompetent employer at the woke place that told you that the other employees would be uncomfortable with you going to these sales meetings in your pure blood, non-pincushion state is violating the law. It doesn't matter what the other employees think. It certainly doesn't matter what your clients think. And there are so many cases in the works right now. And I hope that some of these are going to go to higher courts and that this ruling is going to be invoked. Any hardship caused to the co-workers is not a defense. It has to show that that would result or does result in a direct hardship. Hardship is more than a burden. A burden, and I'm going to give you an example of that. So the employer would have to show that it is a hardship. All right, here's the example. You want to go to work breathing oxygen, unassaulted, and unpricked. All right. And your employer says, oh, no, that's not possible. So you say, well, how about I'll just work at home like I've been working at home for the last 3 years? Oh, no, that would be a hardship on the company. How exactly is it a hardship on the company when you, Mr. Woke Place employer, told me to work from home because you said it was the safest place for me to be? Friends, you're getting about one of my religious exemption workshops here, because these are all of the things that we cover in person. And if you need my individual help, if you would like me to coach you through this, if you are going through the EEOC or the employer is pushing back, I have a link in the description box below. Just go to thehealthyamerican.org, click on religious exemptions. You can have a private call with me, unlimited email access. I go over all of your documents. I tell you the strategies, the pitfalls to avoid. I work with you one-on-one, and we have had great success pushing back. And this is why people are standing up and pushing back, because you have these God-given rights to worship and believe. It can be based on your ethics and your morals. Those are also recognized by the law. You have the absolute legitimate authority of no consent to any of these things that violate your God-given conscience. So the employer has to assess all of the reasonable accommodations that could be done, which could be working at home. For this fellow that doesn't work on Sunday, how is that a hardship? The post office isn't even open on Sunday other than contracting with Amazon. So no, it's not a hardship. He himself went above and beyond trying to be transferred to other locations. The government didn't do anything to meet him halfway or to compromise. So the court said the government was wrong. He was right. This is a very important ruling. Let's say that you want to work in your natural state and the company says, oh no, that would be very difficult. And you say, well, here's how you can accommodate me. I want you to send a private car to pick me up in the morning and it will have an air filtration system and I won't go anywhere but from my house to the car. And the driver, the chauffeur, will drop me off at my new office that you have constructed for me. And there will be a separate doorway that I will enter. And in my office, there will be an air filtration system. I won't go to the company cafeteria, but I will have my healthy meals prepared by a 5-star gourmet organic chef to ensure that I will be healthy and I will not contract any diseases and I will not spread them to anyone else. That's my accommodation. Now the company can say, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. We have to have a chauffeur every day. We have to build you a new office with a new door. And guess what, friends? Accommodations for the Americans with Disabilities Act. This goes on day in, day out, all day, every day. Ramps are put in. Elevators are put in. Bathrooms are put in. Parking places are put in. No company bats an eye about the thousands and thousands, maybe millions of dollars that are spent to accommodate someone who has a physical or a medical disability. Why? Because the law requires it. Your company is not putting in those handicapped restrooms and all of that just because they want to. It's required by law. Well, guess what? You, in your religious observation, belief, and practice, you and your conditions are also protected by law. And if you did want that, your own office built with your own door and your own chauffeur and your own 5-star gourmet organic meals, I would actually ask for that. And then you could start to negotiate down from there and say, well, how about this? You guys all are good, right? You're all pincushions. So what are you worried about? And if you're worried, just put on the suffocation device. You're good. And I'm good. So that's the good news, friends. I do want to cover a couple of other topics that came up, other rulings from the Supreme Court. And this last topic I want to talk about, and I'll also bring it into the next video, is this concept of, I don't know, this is a slippery slope. What if somebody says that their religion is something weird, bizarre, illegal, unsavory, like their religion is doing XYZ. What about that, Peggy? What is the Supreme Court going to say about that? Well, I have a feeling that you very sophisticated, healthy Americans already know the answer to that. And I'm going to answer that in the next video when we talk about the website designer does not have to create websites that are in direct conflict with this person's religious beliefs. All right, so stay tuned for that. Thank you, everybody. I am thrilled about this. Things are moving in the right direction. And I think it's because so many of us pushed back against this egregious strangulation of our religious rights. And whether or not you are a person of faith, it is important that we maintain our religious beliefs because that goes against, if we don't do that, the evildoers, the public serpents, those, the powers that shouldn't be, they're going after your very soul. They're going after your thoughts and your beliefs. And they are judging whether or not that belief is valid and whether or not you have the right to express it. I'm sure you can see that. This is very, very troubling. And I'm glad that those on the Supreme Court could see it as well.